It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen to KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only,
I mean, could you imagine a twin?
Paul Lavoie.
All right, so ready or not, guys, here we come, right?
Here we come, we're already here.
I'm just saying, you know, problems getting the agenda. And did you finally get all squared away there, Cal?
No.
Mayor Sheehy? I
cannot get my internet today, but
that's okay.
I'll go off my memory.
Sharing is caring, and you guys have a tablet because David's is connecting, so we're good to go, right?
Always.
Yes. All right. Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Tuesday, May 25th, 2021, and Lake Havasu City Mayor Cal Sheehy in the house.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Who's the guy you brought with you? No, I see David. I probably see you more, David Lane, than any other member of our community except for Steve Greeley and Tracy Jones.
Well, you work with them.
Exactly.
We're
good for once a week. We're good for bowling dates.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, as part of Kiwanis, you know, this last Thursday we had a social where we got together after hours and we all went bowling.
Yeah, very nice.
And old Paulie here is quite the bowler.
No, I told you I was like 60 pins below average.
So. Average. See, I don't I'm not a bowler, so I don't even have an average.
All I have is form, like Fred Flintstone. So there you have
he
it.
He shows up with a glove, shoes,
it's not a glove, ball. It's a stabilizer for the wrist.
Sorry.
So your wrist doesn't go all over the place when you throw the ball. Anyway, I'm sure people really want to hear about my bowling game, David Lane. But the nice thing, Mr. Mayor, is that this club, I'm not putting down any other clubs, but team building is a very important aspect of any social club or service club. Thank you.
So are you a member of Kiwanis?
Yes.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes. Yes. And we're making inroads into more publicity through press releases and getting what we actually do for the kids of the community out there.
You guys do great work.
Thank you. Well, thank you. It needs to appreciate be known, that. And that's part of, you know, my mission personally is getting that word out for the Kiwanis Club of Lake Havasu City.
Sure, and you'll see a big one this next Wednesday. It's Memorial Day. And we put out about 650 flags on those seven holidays a year, and Monday's one of them. So
we need photos.
We will be putting lots of flags out in people's yards on Monday.
So. Right. We need photos, just letting the people out in the field know this.
So. Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you're not following the NBA playoffs right now and the Phoenix Suns, you probably should be, because tonight they take on the Lakers, game two, 7 p.m., and it could be historic because LeBron James, now that he's on the Lakers, could go 0-2 if this happens, if they lose tonight, the Lakers. LeBron has never been 0-2 in the playoffs ever, ever. On any team he's been on, the Heat, the Cavs, you know, so yeah. This could be big if the Suns win tonight.
So you're saying he could be a historic loser.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I think of LeBron. All right, and then the D-backs will join in progress against the San Francisco Giants, that's at Chase Field. The D-backs just having a whole host of problems. They take on the Giants tonight and tomorrow, a two-game series, and then four with the Paul Goldschmidt-led St. Louis Cardinals. So there you have it. Or Yachty or Molina, however you want to look at that. All right. And that's on 980 AM, 100.5 and 94.3 FM. And, there you go. Someone's talking through their computer, right? Was that Siri or what?
I don't know who was speaking. I heard right. it, but I don't know who it was.
Somebody's got speech to text or whatever. All right.
Not I.
Lake Havasu, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but there's a career fair tomorrow. Or no, Thursday. Lake Havasu Unified School District Career Fair is Thursday. And it's pretty cool because you can find out how to teach while earning your teaching certification. And all you need to do that is a bachelor's degree. So, and they'll also hire you for other positions where you can pursue your bachelor's degree while you teach in the Lake Havasu Unified School District. So, anyway, that is on Thursday, 1 to 5 p.m., Lake Havasu Unified School District Office Boardroom. And for more information, call Barbara or Gail, 928-505-6900, or email Jamie Festa Daigle at jfesta, just like it sounds, jfesta at lhusd.org. So, without further ado, man, where did you guys come up with this agenda tonight?
You know, it's just
14 public hearings?
Yes. There's a lot going on in Lake Havasu City, and things continue to move, and you know, tonight's agenda is going to be a pretty lengthy agenda.
Right. So you got plenty of sleep last night, right? So you can go late into the night tonight?
I work late into the night every night.
I'm sure you
do. So I'm pretty good.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm sure
I'm ready.
Do.
For anybody that's coming, eat first.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good call. All right. If you have a question for Mayor Sheehy or Councilmember David Lane, give us a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And I don't know, I guess the one to start with, we don't want to go in order or anything. We'll go by order of importance. And right now the order of importance is the phone, because this show is dedicated to the listener. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, this is Wayne. How you doing, Paul?
Wayne, how are you? Loyal listener.
Good.
What's
good.
Going on?
Listen, well, I got a question. I'd like to know from Mayor Cal and also Councilman Lank, what their feeling is on the rezoning at the 200 London Bridge Road for that drive-through pot shop. I wanted to see what they thought about that.
Yeah, great question, Wayne. Thank you for calling. The when the voters of Arizona passed Proposition 207 allowing recreational marijuana to be illegal in the state of Arizona, our city went forth and put in zoning regulations that were the most restrictive that they can be. And so it has a variety of different things that applicants have to meet as far as location from liquor licenses and schools and parks and some of those types of things. Again, knowing that we are going to be the most restrictive, if somebody was going to want to put in a different location or move from a current location, which is the intent of this rezoning applicant, that they would have to come through a public process, so through planning and zoning, right, and through council through the PD process. So anyone that wants to do this, because we were so restrictive, will have to go through the plan development process, which, again, allows the community to weigh in each and every time to say, okay, is it appropriate here or is it not appropriate there? Because there really are a very limited number of places based on the restrictions we put in place in December on where these types of operations can go. And, again, they're legal operations thanks to the voters of Arizona. So so we're kind of in an interesting spot where, you know, we want to be as open and transparent as possible. So going through this plan development process allows the community to have a say each time, and it's a legal operation at this point. So.
Well, I understand that, but I was wondering how you felt about it and if you thought we should just stick to the zoning that we originally have.
Well, from my perspective, if we stick with the zoning we originally had, we won't have anywhere really for these places to go. And so there is some concern that they're in light industrial with heavy machinery and vehicles and those types of things. And so, you know, I'll listen to the testimony tonight and see each parcel is going to be, you know, come before council in a way that we're going to have to say, okay, weigh the benefits of a public comment and use of that particular area when it comes to these. For the next several years, I believe that these are going to be very few and far between because there's not enough licenses that, to be allocated out into all areas of the state. But in the future, I could see it similar to liquor licenses if it continues to expand. And I don't know, Councilmember Lane, if you have some thoughts on it.
Sure. I'm more than happy to share my personal thoughts. My personal thoughts on it is that this is a wrong location. It's right across from the entrance where we have the Balloon Festival and the boat show and the Sand and Water Expo and buses
Bluegrass
by the bridge camping and
Bluegrass, yeah,
and the Bluegrass
point.
Festival,
point,
the Rockabilly yeah. Festival, and it's right next to the hotel and the Hampton Inn, and it's between the Hampton Inn and the Swap Meet. And this is our tourist area, so do we want to have it in our tourist area? We don't market, or the way I understand the marijuana laws, they should not be marketing to tourists because there's really no place that's legal for tourists to smoke marijuana. You can't smoke it in the hotel. It's a non-smoking hotel. You can't smoke it outside. It's illegal to smoke it outside. You have to smoke it in your residence. So unless you're renting an Airbnb or something to that effect, there's really nowhere for you to smoke it. So why would we have it in our tourist areas? So I think it's in the wrong spot. Now, that's my personal feeling. So, and
well,
you asked my personal feelings, so I give you that.
Hang on, Wayne. Go ahead, Wayne.
Sure. Pardon?
Yeah, what was it you were going to say?
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt, but I did want to say that I am perfectly in line with exactly everything you said.
Okay.
I mean, it's right in the middle of a real busy area there. The swap meet is a nice community congregational area in the wintertime. When you read the paper, it makes it sound like that's a dead area. You know, the gates are always closed to the park, and they are wrong. American Legion, I think, is definitely 100% open to the public. Anybody can go there and have dinner. You know, they make it sound like it's all private little dead area there, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. Now, one thing I have to mention this as well. You asked my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. Now, when it comes to how will I vote, I will listen to what the people have to say tonight at this and take into account the emails we've received and all of that. And I'm here to represent the people. I'm not here to represent myself. So if the majority of the people say we want this here, then I will vote to have it there. Whether I agree with it or not is a moot point.
Right. But I just hope more people are thinking about it, not totally just following that article, because it did have a certain amount of spin on it. They didn't mention any of those prestigious events that we have there that represent our community and really do a lot for the community. I think it's a poor location, and I think you got to remember, planning and zoning is both planning and zoning, not just zoning. We got to take, and I don't think we take that into consideration enough, my personal opinion.
Wow, great point.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Wayne. It's always nice to hear from you.
Anything else, Wayne?
No, that's why I love our little town. You know, we can talk right to the mayor and council people, and I love it.
There you go.
Awesome.
That's what we do.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you for the time.
You're welcome. And again, the number 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. I got a couple of questions via text. I know we want to get to this agenda, but the listeners are definitely interactive today. And there's been talk of the second bridge to the island, and Leo Biasucci is pushing for that as well at the state level. But the question is, do we really need a second bridge to the island? Where is that location? That's one question.
Yeah, no, great question, and it's a question that we're now having as well. You know, for many, many years, there's always been the discussion of a second bridge and what does that look like, but the conversation has never gone, do we need a second bridge? And so
right.
It's just that there's supposed to be a second bridge. And so we're starting to have those conversations now because Representative Biasucci, along with Senator Borelli, have really pushed at the state level for direct funding from the general fund for a second bridge. And obviously, if we were able to get those monies from the state, we would gladly accept them and build that second bridge. But we're talking considerable amounts of money. The most recent estimate was about $50 million. So
wow.
The city does not have those monies, but currently we have purchased land in a planning effort for a second bridge near Crazy Horse Campground. So that's where it would come on to the island. And then it would go across the state parks. We have right-of-way agreements with Arizona State Park for the egress from mainland. Now, another part of the conversation that no one really talks about when it comes to the second bridge is that we need to plan from Highway 95. How do you get off Highway 95 and actually get onto this bridge? If you're having a trailer or a boat or all those things, it's very awkward to turn right on Leonard Bridge Road and kind of make your way through that S-curve.
The chicane.
Yes, and then try and get up over the bridge. And,
right.
And so we need to talk about those pieces as well. So we're having those conversations, the feasibility of a second bridge. And of course, the London Bridge goes through inspections, and it's stable and sound and can meet those things. But you might see in some other communities where there's light indicator boxes that the lanes are different lanes at different times based on traffic flow. So maybe you have two lanes on and one lane off, or three lanes off and none on. And sure. I mean, there's a variety of different technological advances. So we're looking at it, and we'll have better answers for Representative Biasucci for next year. That issue is not in discussion at the state level anymore, but he does want to resume those conversations for next year. So we're planning accordingly to be able to get him the right answers and do what's right for our community.
Okay.
The big question that we really have to think about is, do we truly need a second bridge onto the island? This is a lot of money.
Well, you're a public safety person anyway.
I am a public safety person, and I look at this from a safety standpoint, and I look at the bridge. It's not a 200-year-old bridge. It's a new bridge with an old facade over it, and it is a three-lane bridge. And so if there was some issue where we needed to get people off of the island, it becomes a three-lane bridge to get everybody off of the island. And it's not, you know, people aren't going to be going out there if there's an issue.
Right.
And then what kind of issue would we have where we would truly need to evacuate the island? It's not a truck route. There's no hazardous materials that are going to be out there. There's no forest out there. There's not going to be a forest fire. So you have to look at the true reason. The main thing is congestion. On the busy weekends, the boat ramp backs up. When the other boat ramps get filled up, well, with Riviera opening up here soon, that should alleviate that issue. So it may not be needed as
right.
much as some people may think that we do need to have it. And is that where our citizens want the taxpayers, the tax dollars to go right now?
Okay. I'm just going to go to a break, but we'll hold that off and take a phone call.
Awesome.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul, Hal Christensen.
Hey, Hello, Hal, how are you?
Hey, Hal.
Good to hear from you.
I'm doing okay, hanging in there. Hey, I remember a couple of years ago this was brought up regarding a second bridge, consideration of putting a tunnel instead of a bridge, because they could block off the channel and drain it, and then you know dig a tunnel and stuff.
Interesting.
Because anybody, then you don't have to worry about matching the bridge to something else.
Yeah, no, that's a good comment, Hal. That's another piece that people don't really talk about is the view corridors from this new bridge. When we say $50 million, we're talking just a boring concrete bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Tunnels. I believe there might have been some discussion of a tunnel during RUDAT and kind of lifting Highway 95 up, Yeah, you're taking me back a few years.
RUDAT, so. That's some history there.
Yeah, that goes back to 2007 or so. So, I mean, obviously that is something to consider, but tunnels are very, very costly. I mean, we'd be...
And you still have to have connections on either end.
Mm-hmm.
So you would still have that same issue that you would have to have. And as the mayor said, you know, we've always said, okay, the last numbers we had were $25 million, and now you hear him saying $50 million. And that's based upon a bridge that's currently out to bid right now up in Bullhead to go across the river. They open up their bids, and that was $53 million.
And then you still have to get the road from the field house to the river.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So there are some costs associated with that. And a tunnel, I don't know if a tunnel would be any cheaper than a bridge, Hal.
Because anybody who's ever traveled on Interstate 10 through Mobile, Alabama, There's a tunnel that goes under the Gulf of Mexico there.
Hmm. Wow, I would be worried about flooding back there.
Interesting.
With that.
Yes. So interesting. Thanks for the input.
Something to think about.
Yes,
thanks,
thank
Hal.
You.
Okay,
it was
just,
good to hear
just
from
a question.
You.
No, no
okay,
problem.
Guys, good to talk to you.
You
take
too.
Care, Hal.
Thank you. Great phone calls today, by the way, turning this into talk radio, not just listen radio. I guess we were due, kind of like the Diamondbacks are, for a win, right? All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Mayor Cal Sheehy, Councilmember David Lane, and we'll be back with more on Speak Out in just a moment. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, also Mojave Mortgage, GDK CPA LLC, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Arizona Krav Maga. I wanted to get to this question we've been talking about off the air as far as a listener texted me. And so with so many new residents, do we need any discussion about another school? As in, he feels, you know, ASU took the one junior high, the other junior high that we had, if I remember right. And do we need to start talking about another school now that, you know, people are moving into the community? I'm not sure about families and that, but what's your take on that, Cal?
Yeah, no, great question. The school district obviously has its own elected school board that makes these decisions, but
right.
From an overall community perspective, there are school sites that are vacant lands throughout our community. As the need for enrollment increases, that the district could build additional schools if necessary. It's my understanding, though, that enrollment has remained flat. And so although we're seeing some growth, we're not seeing a lot of growth in school-age children
right.
attending. And But the old junior high school, which is where ASU is today.
Was that Daytona?
It was Daytona
yeah.
Middle School.
Okay.
But it was originally like Havasu Junior High. And when Thunderbolt opened, that school was slated to close down as a middle school. The intent never was to have two middle schools at that time. But then obviously enrollment in those particular grades increased and it was necessary to have two. But so there is planning efforts on behalf of the school district, again, by your elected school board and the school administration to plan for school sites. And there's plenty of land that they already have in their holdings to be able to do so.
Dave sounds he looks impressed by our knowledge of history here.
I am. I learned something. I did not know that about when they opened up Thunderbolt, that
right.
Daytona was going to actually be closed down. So
yeah, they actually used it for a minute because at the time the Smoke Tree, which was the first school, needed to have some renovations made, and so mm-hmm. they moved the elementary school over there for a short time while they made those renovations. So.
Okay, interesting. I want to talk about...
That's the good part about having a mayor that grew up here.
Right, right.
He knows the history.
We were the first class, actually, that went to Thunderbolt, so we opened
really?
It for our 8th grade year. So.
But before we get to the three main items about the contracts with the city magistrate, the city attorney, and city manager Jessica Knutson, I want to talk about this one kind of took me by surprise, a notice of intent to implement fees for transit services. That's the first item on the public hearings. What kind of fees do we have a fee schedule?
That's what we'll be doing tonight. So fee schedules have a longer public opinion or a public comment period.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to obviously introduce it and notify the public and do certain reporting requirements on the website. But it's just the transit fees. We haven't had transit since it closed down in,
right.
in the mid 2010-12 area. And so now we just have to have those transit fees come through. But they're very minimal. We're talking fares of $1.50 and a paratransit at $3 per
That's
ride.
That's not much change from back in 2010.
No, they're the same rates. But you just have to do the notice of intent for a fee schedule.
Are we still looking at the name, you know, Havasu Area Transit?
No, there's actually, it's called Bridge for the fixed route, which there's only two fixed routes.
But that's the route name, right?
That's funny. Councilmember Lane said the same thing at the council meeting, that there was some confusion. But no, the bridge would be the two routes that basically go down the downtown corridor mm-hmm. and then out to
McCulloch.
The mall.
Okay.
And then there's a paratransit and then there's microtransit. So
yeah, so there's microtransit. There's flex. And
bridge.
Yeah, bridge is the fixed route, which to me sounds like.
Why don't you just call it mall?
Yeah.
Because that's just the name of it. It has nothing to do with the bridge.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I brought that up saying that could be confusing.
And that's not an acronym, huh?
So
no, that's just the name.
Just the name they came up with.
Okay.
So that's. Okay.
And so then, we have bridge, we have flex, and then the curb to curb. Is that what we're talking about?
Flex is the curb to curb, where will use basically. There's three. They'll separate the city into three zones: south, central, and north. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a spot from, say, in the south area, and you head to Bashes, you'll stay in that same zone. So a car will pick you up, take you to Bashes, and then take you back home.
Well, are they using the? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Are they using the Ford Flex vehicles? Could that be a reason for flex?
Yeah, they are using...
Because I think they are, right?
Their Ford Edges are similar.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But I think flex is just it's a flexible service for the citizens. So, but that will be launching in its first phase in the summer with full implementation in 2022.
I got you. We're going to take another short break. And since Wayne is listening, I have to play Joe Bonamassa just to make him happy. So he'll keep listening. Wayne's a huge Joe Bonamassa fan also. So, all right, I'm Paul LaVoy along with Mayor Cal Sheehy, Councilman, or Council Member, he prefers, David Lane. And we'll be right back with more in a moment on Speak Out, 854-KNTR, 854-5687, if you want to talk to us. A little bit more Joe B for you, Wayne, at Neat Pools. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Shagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by SMA Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule. And back on Speak Out, talking about tonight's city council meeting. Starts at 6 p.m.
That's correct.
No work session.
Not tonight.
This little meeting's going to be long enough.
It's going to be a long meeting, yes.
That's all right.
So let's get to the employment contracts.
Yes.
Okay, the two. Now, David and I were talking before the show about the Jess Knudsen contract. Of course, it was in the paper, 29% increase for city manager Jess Knudsen. Although the optics, I'm going to admit here, don't look good, right? 29%. Pay increase, there's kind of a reason for this. And who wants to explain that?
Yeah, you know, it's let's go back just a little bit to the positional analysis that the city did. So there was, it was discovered that many of our employees across the entire city were not paid at market rates. And so we were really having a hard time recruiting very critical positions that were roads, water, wastewater, police, fire, because they were able to make more money in other communities on a starting salary. And so we took a look at this systematically, and there was a lot of discussion that we should do a Band-Aid approach and, you know, fix this department and then fix that department. And the council, in my opinion, rightfully so, said, let's look at this from a whole perspective so we can understand exactly what the impacts to our entire team is and how do we solve that and understand the financial impacts to solving that. We did that, but that process took a little bit of time, and so we implemented the positional analysis outcomes last October. So October of 2020, they went into effect for all city employees, with the exception of city council and the three appointed positions that report to the city council. And so we looked at that, and throughout this entire process, the three positions that report to the council, again, the city manager, city attorney, and city magistrate, have foregone rate increases for 3 years, three cycles,
right,
while we went through this positional analysis.
But it's important to note, too, this was not an overnight process.
No, this has been ongoing for about 3 years.
So, in other words, there has not been a raise for any of those that you mentioned, those appointed positions and the council, for about 3 years.
3 years for the appointed positions, about 27 years for council.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So what we did is
the laugh by David Lane. Gotcha.
Yeah, so we have, as part of the process of the positional analysis, they identified our comparable cities. So there's 10 comparable cities that were determined based on size, based on population, the services they offer. You know, certain cities don't provide fire. They might have a separate fire district, or not all cities have an airport. So basically took the 10 comparable cities by population in the state of Arizona, with similar services offered to their citizens, and that's how the median rate was determined for all city employees. And so when it comes to the positions that we're going to have before us tonight, for example, the median rate based on our 10 comparable cities for the city manager is $208,000.
Ooh.
And so we're not wow, offering a contract for that amount to our city manager, but we are offering one that's achieves the goal that we set out initially to do, which was to pay all city employees, the three that report to us and the rest of the team, at market wages, which we're not quite achieving tonight with these, but we believe the compensation is fair considering the comparable cities, the services that are offered, and the folks that hold these positions, which really do a fantastic job for our community.
So I'm gonna and here's the 300-pound elephant in the room. Was the corrective action that Jess was under taken into account also with that pay raise?
Well, you know, we can't really talk about personnel matters.
I understand.
But we took a look at, for all three employees, we took a look at their performance over the last year, which is what we do during the evaluation process each and every year. And so we do a full 12-month review of accomplishments and successes. This year, something new that we implemented was goal setting. So we set goals for the upcoming year that these three positions will do. So we tried to take a very proactive approach that we're getting the best service to deliver to our citizens from very competent and educated personnel that will be able to deliver
okay,
the services.
Is there a cap on these salaries? Is there a max that, like, say, the city manager, city magistrate, city attorney, that they could attain before maybe raises don't go into effect at all?
No, I mean, we'll take a look at it each year, and certainly we want to make sure that we're fair. It's a balanced approach where we're fair to the taxpayers, the ones paying the bills.
Sure.
And then certainly fair to the employees. But, you know, having the median range for a city manager, for example, using our 10 comparables at $208,000,
yeah,
if we had to recruit a new city manager, we would be paying in that median rate plus
fair
the
enough
recruitment cost, plus the cost of turnover for not having leadership or continuity of leadership. So we have to take a very broad approach to how we're going to do this. But there are ranges that city personnel fall into, and certainly we take that into account when we're evaluating the three positions that report to us as well.
Councilman Lane, your thoughts?
None of these positions are they going to the top of their range. They're all median range, and it's very important to understand that when we started out on this positional analysis, and one of the things that we talked about the whole time was we are going to ensure that all city employees are paid at fair market value. If you want to have good employees, you have to be willing to write them the paycheck for the job that they do. And all three of these employees, they're the only three that we have control over their salaries, other than the budget issue where we provide the monies for the other employees.
Right.
But they do a good job. You know, I'll just give you a prime example right quick. It just happened not even 5 minutes ago. So we were floundering for just a couple minutes here on what was the name of that other bus line? Was it turns out it was Bridge, Flex, and Direct.
Ah.
I got a text message from the city manager saying it's Direct. So making sure that I had the information that I needed while I was here on the
air. There you go.
Talking to the public. And those are the things that these employees do. They make sure that we have the information that we need. And they're always out there. And their jobs are not 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Their jobs are 24
right.
hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, you... As the mayor said, we can't talk about personnel issues, but one of the things that we have discussed over this last year is it is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
I'm grateful to Jess because he's one of our 10 loyal listeners. So,
yeah,
and he proved it today. All right, let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
I just wanted to compliment the managers who handle the employees. I've been going to Havasu for 20 years of 5 days a week while I was working there, and I've never seen a bad attitude or anything that resembled any kind of contempt by any of the employees ever in all the projects that I've witnessed them working on, and I think that has to do with the managers who are taking the advice of some of the people who are on the site doing the work and helping them to decide how to do things. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
good
you.
Comment from
yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah, and great feedback.
Kenny, you're absolutely correct. It's the city staff that we have is second to none. Last week was Public Works Week, and I had the opportunity to go down and issue a proclamation that was issued by the mayor. I went down on his behalf and talked to all of the Public Works employees, and let them know just how much we appreciate the fine work that they do. And you don't see three guys standing around leaning on shovels with one guy working. You go to the parks and the parks are clean. And you see the city employees picking up the trash off the side of the highway. And, yeah, we have a really, really good city staff. And thank you for bringing that up, Kay.
Guys, we have the only certified arborist in Mojave County on our Parks and Rec staff. Did you guys know that? You're both looking at me like
you did not
know that.
No, we did know that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of Craig.
Craig.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I see his face in my mind, but it takes me a
and
minute
the ponytail.
To put a name with it sometimes. Yeah, I'm really good at faces. That comes back from law enforcement. I'm really good at faces, but I'm really bad at names.
I got you. All right, let's go to item number 8.10. Approved purchase of London Bridge dynamic lighting and software from Independent Electric Supply. Is this something you've been studying for a while, new lighting for the London Bridge, or is it just enhanced lighting?
Well, you know, the lighting for the London Bridge is 50 years old, so we're celebrating the 50th year this year. And if you look at the bridge now, there are several light bulbs that are out. And the wiring is 50 years old. The technology is. At one point, we did upgrade with those conversion kits to LED, but those conversion kits are not stable in this type of heat and outdoor elements. So this lighting has been determined as a need for a capital project. Certainly, staff has looked at a variety of different options. So while we're going through and going to be redoing all the wiring, the light fixtures, all those types of things, the technology certainly over 50 years has increased, where it'll allow for the lights on the bridge to be interactive. And we can do things like red, white, and blue over 4th of July, or we could do purple during Domestic Violence Month, or those types of things with really easy, quick technology that is in most of our citizens' homes and that we see in other businesses throughout our community. But it's a necessary item to be able to address the lighting first, because that's the biggest issue. And to be able to have some of these enhancements for little cost is a good thing.
And it's changing the lights that are inside the fixture. So we know the lights on the bridge, you know, they were made from the melted down cannons from Napoleon's army. Those lights are still going to be there. It's the interior guts that are going to be changed.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. Can I make another suggestion lighting-wise?
Sure.
The stage is that when you have an act on the stage and it's nighttime or dusk, it's very hard to see that act if they don't bring in lighting.
Yes. Yeah, that area is very unique because it wasn't always owned by the city. It was always under private holdings until just a couple of years ago when the north side deeded it over to the city. But the only thing the city has literally is under the bridge. And so they have to go through private property on either side for folks to come down and do that, which but both property owners are very welcoming to that. But it does make it very difficult to do those types of enhancements. And it's also the world's largest antique.
So you've noticed it too. It is. It is. I love that saying.
Yeah, I've been one of the groups that had to bring lighting down for events that we've hosted.
Right.
Area.
Okay.
Right.
This item 8.3 is kind of interesting. It's an ordinance to amend a great number of city codes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much time you're going to spend on that item, but there are a lot of codes here that are in play.
Sure. Yeah. So currently we're under the 2012 building codes, and this would be updating it to the 2018. Really, this is a lot of this is driven by builders and people that are in the building community, because they are working in maybe other communities or in the county that have already adopted the 2018 standards, and so it gives them continuity and ease when they're working across multiple markets that they're operating on the 2018 codes. We've had public feedback, especially an outreach to the building community for the last 60 days to get input on any alterations. And truly, we haven't heard any feedback that needed to be changed or amended from what is proposed this evening.
Okay. Interesting. Anything else you guys want to add while you're here?
A couple of items that we could touch on real quick. Memorial Day is obviously coming up this weekend, but there will be a ceremony honoring our veterans on Memorial Day, Monday the 31st at Havasu Memorial Gardens, which is off of Deer Run, North Palo Verde to Deer Run. It's at 9 a.m., sponsored by the VFW and many of our veterans organizations in our community. But we invite the public to come out at 9 o'clock and pay tribute to all of our veterans on Monday, May 31st, Memorial Day.
Yeah, all our veterans that have given that ultimate sacrifice. This is the day that we remember them. And, you know, as a veteran myself.
Yeah, Air Force veteran.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your service, by the way.
And it's you know, I'm very proud of that. And I'm also proud of the fact that my grandfather is a veteran. My father was a veteran. I'm a veteran. My son is a veteran. I take that very seriously. And it's important to come out and remember those. We have Veterans Day in November, but this day is Memorial Day, and to remember those that gave that ultimate sacrifice. And this ceremony that the VFW holds out at the cemetery is absolutely beautiful. They do a really nice job of remembering of those men and women that have paid that price. And you know, freedom isn't free. And we've had a lot of people, especially from this community, that have given their life so that we can enjoy this day of, you know, where we get to go barbecue and play in the water and do all the things that we get to do. So it's a somber day, but it's also a day that we get to rejoice and say thank you to those people.
So, Mr. Mayor, we have about a minute and a half left, and I can't help but notice that this year Memorial Day is a lot different than last year. And I know the outlook is good for the summer in that, but we're not going to be the only destination open this summer. Is there still optimism for city, you know, sales tax revenues and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, so everything that we're forecasting and seeing in the market is to continue to have a robust economy through this summer season. We're hearing from our business owners and managers throughout the community that they are that they have bookings and they have people and that they have a good flow of folks. So yeah, we're optimistic and looking forward to welcoming many of our visitors back to experience all the great things like Havasu City has to offer.
Right, maybe the traffic will be just a little bit lighter too. And we got some relief on Highway 95, from what I understand, from ADOT as far as synchronizing goes.
They're working on the synchronization of the lights. It's not quite done yet, but they're putting the technology in so that they can be synchronized, which will be such a welcome relief. I've been working on that since I was elected.
It is. And traffic, I noticed on the way over here today, is a little heavy. People are starting to come in for the weekend already, and so just be patient and realize that not everybody out there is as sober as we are. So be careful.
So Councilman Lane, this one going out to break is for you. Get a haircut and get a real job. All right. I'm not sure if you have any more to cut.
Hey, this is an everyday thing. The good Lord only made so many beautiful heads, and the rest he put hair on.
There you go. All right, thanks for being here, Mayor Cal Sheehy, Councilman David Lane. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Lavoie.
All right.
Thank you for
welcome.
Having us.
You can call me Polly.
Polly.
You've earned it.
Yeah.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. Get a haircut, get a real job. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Just a reminder, on tomorrow's show, Lake Havasu Unified School District will be in the house talking about graduation, some of the accomplishments from this past unusual or unique school year. We'll also have Jeannie Kench and Luana Gillette on the program talking about all things Republican Party here in Mojave County and Lake Havasu City, and also the upcoming Lincoln Day dinner on Saturday, June 5th. All right, just a reminder, both shows, Speak Out and Speak Out 2.0, are dark on Memorial Day. That's this Monday, of course, May 31st. We're both dark. We'll have 3 hours of Kill Me, 3 hours of Prager, 3 hours of Hannity, and 3 hours of Levin that day. So enjoy your Memorial Day. Enjoy the entire Memorial Day weekend. And by the way, Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll see you tomorrow.